Welcome to the Bing Binge Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jordy D'Angelo, accompanied by my two co-hosts, Mike Sierczynski and Bill Lake.
Hello.
Say hello. Hello.
Hello.
How we doing, peoples?
Good.
So, I have pizza.
I, too, am good.
I am also well. So, this week we decided we tried to meet last week, and I was an idiot and couldn't get any of the technical stuff right, so I...
Let me clarify that. We did meet last week. Then you were an idiot. Hence, we wasted our time.
Thank you. So now I feel horrible, but thank God for Bill, because he brought all the proper equipment, so now we're back. So, when we met last week, we decided we were going to come up with one topic, secret topic each, and then we were going to talk about it this week, because we're still trying to figure out what we want to do. So
we spring the topics on each other.
Yes.
With no warning at all.
And Bill forgot. So, Mike, what is your secret topic this
all
evening?
Right. All right. I'm not afraid to admit that I get choked up, maybe a little teary-eyed at times, at movies and television shows, what have you.
Of course.
The question is, what's some of the dumbest things you've ever gotten choked up about?
Oh, gosh.
I know mine. I can start.
All right, please start. Let me think while you talk.
In the mid 1990s, there was an X-Men cartoon, and the episode when Jubilee finally realizes her full power and and really busts out her Jubilee fireworks stuff and saves some of her fellow X-Men. I had been up really late.
Yeah,
and when I stay up really late or I can't sleep, sometimes the next day I will get oversensitive in terms of emotion and
punch drunk.
Yeah, okay, and I was very moved when Jubilee saved her fellow X-Men. You always had it in you, Jubilee. I believed in you. The Professor X believed in you. Society didn't.
It's a beautiful story.
That is a beautiful story.
No, it's not. It's dumb.
I thought of one. This isn't dumb as much as it was surprising. Okay, so I was too young to experience the Beatles. The Beatles broke up. I was, 8 years old. But a few years after that, maybe 6 or 7 years after that, the Let It Be documentary was out in the theaters. So I went and saw it. And I didn't know that much about the Beatles somewhat, but after watching that documentary, which was basically unplanned documentation of them breaking up while they recorded their last album, I remember walking out of that movie theater, and it was kind of like a fall day, and it was kind of dark, and it was gray.
Yeah.
And realizing this is not a funny story. And I was depressed. Like, I felt bad that the Beatles broke up 7 years after they'd broken up just because of that documentary. But it was weird how I empathized with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Within, like, a two-hour movie, you felt like you got to know them so well, and I was actually sad they broke up. I'm sure they were well over it by then. But
did you weep, though?
No, I just felt sad. It was weird. I felt really depressed. It's not like I knew them. It's not like I grew up on their music.
I was under the impression you did know the Beatles, Bill.
No, I didn't. I kind of knew Ringo, but no, not really. No, that's not a funny story at all.
It's not a funny story. But that's all right.
I tripped on the way out of the theater. No,
I also don't know if it counts. I mean, didn't you say that you've weeped at?
Or at least just get choked. It's not like I was watching the X-Men and I was like, sobbing.
I didn't realize I had
forcefully sobbing.
No. A pussy in my story. I didn't realize that was part of the...
I'm just trying to get you to tell us another sad story.
I told a man story. I didn't tell a girl story.
All right.
It's a manly story about overcoming adversity. She's a mutant and society rejects mutants. And she finally found her place among the X-Men and then realized her full potential.
You're right.
Maybe if they make a documentary about the X-Men breaking up, you can go see it and cry.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so I guess it's my turn. So mine is unmovie-related. even though that was the theme we were going with. So when I was younger, I was probably, like, I got really homesick all the time. It was, like, bad. I was such a sissy. Like, so this one time, I was supposed to go away on vacation with one of my best friends at the time, and we were supposed to go to New Jersey. It was, like, the first time I was going to be, like, far away from my parents. And the night of, I was, like, we were hanging out. It was fine. We went, we got snacks. My mom gave me a shit ton of money, so I had that. That was sweet. But then I, like, started to realize, like, I was going to be far away from my parents. So I started, like, bawling in the basement of their house, like, in the utility room.
You mean, like, you were dunking? You were a white guy who was dunking? Bawling?
Both.
Okay.
I was crying playing basketball. They called me white chocolate, by the way, in high school. But no, I was crying.
Did you not get to go to New Jersey? Because that'd be so sad.
So I made my friend's mom bring me home after they had already planned to have me be there this entire time. My friend was totally disappointed. I think that was, like, one of the last times we really ever hung out.
I like how you foreshadowed the results of that by saying, he was my best friend at the time.
I'm a great storyteller. No, and the worst part of the story is that I had to give my mom the money back, so that kind of blew.
That is not the worst part of the story.
It was the worst part for me.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, you have to make up a topic.
Do you remember, I mean, there aren't really long distance commercials anymore, because, remember long distance?
What are you talking about?
Phones. It used to be, you know, phones were plugged into the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And
when you had to talk louder.
Yes.
No, I had this, that it was like the Motorola track phone at that time with the snake on it.
Oh, well.
It was silver, I remember it.
We're talking well before those.
Wow. There was a time before those?
Yes, and like AT&T was a long distance company, and they would put out these commercials that would really tug on your heartstrings, so you'd go with them, so you could, you know, reach out and touch someone. That was their tagline. You know, so
no way that was their tagline.
Yes, absolutely, it was their tagline. And oh my God, so they'd have all these commercials about, like, you know, don't you miss your family? And long distance, I remember paying, like, it was like $90 a month just for long distance.
What?
Yes.
Who were you calling that was that far away?
No one. Just to have it was expensive.
Wow. Wow. That's insane.
And we were thankful. Yeah. We used to have to make phone calls in the snow, uphill, both ways.
Both ways. Yeah. What are both ways of a phone call? The guy talking and the guy listening.
We had to go uphill to talk, and we had to go uphill to listen, and it was cold. We had nothing to eat.
I remember when phones, you had to wait until after 9 o'clock to get free minutes. Do you remember that? No?
No.
I remember that being a thing, but I did not have a fancy...
What's the opposite of, like, not aging yourself, but when you're too young? Younging yourself.
That's also dating yourself, but it's not.
Okay, I guess that would... Old. Yeah, I guess that is appropriate. All right.
I thought of a topic.
All right, thank God.
And I wasn't prepared until now.
We know.
Okay, this is kind of a very specific topic. A time in your life, maybe when you were a kid, maybe when you were in school, where you... were just indignant, self-righteously thought you were right about something and couldn't get a teacher or an authority figure to believe you. And it was, I'll tell you my story, and it scarred me for life. I still am indignant about this. This was first grade.
What's the definition of indignant?
You're upset. You're okay. Absolutely will not believe you're not right-ish. Okay.
I didn't know that word, just so everybody knows. It's I was asking, like, for me. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
It's like, what was that other word last week?
Bulimic?
Bully Mike?
All right, well, now so we have to tell, hold on, we have to tell everybody the behind story to Bully Mike now. Mike texted me, or Bill texted me a joke, or something to that effect, using the word bulimic, and I spent 20 minutes trying to understand what that word meant. I even asked him to explain that to me, and then I... put it in a Google search and realized that it was bulimic. And
I asked this really skinny girl at work what it meant, and she got really pissed off.
All right, continuing with the story.
So in first grade, we had, in our elementary school, we had a restroom in our classroom in the back of the room. So one day I went back, I used the restroom. I thought it would be funny if I ran my finger up and down my zipper to make it sound like I was zipping and unzipping my pants.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't actually unzipping my pants. I did not have my fingers on the thingy. I just went, got a big laugh. I was happy until the teacher said, William, you have detention. And I was like, I was not unzipping my pants. I was just making the noise. No, you were unzipping. No, I wasn't. I was just pretending to unzip my pants. And I got detention. And wow. It still bothers me. I don't know really? Why. I don't know why. Because.
Have you talked to that teacher since? Did you write her a letter?
No. But I don't know. It's funny that like something so insignificant, but it kind of teaches you about authority. Like somebody's going to assume what you're doing.
Yeah.
No matter what the truth is, no matter how much you explain it away and what the actual truth was, because they think, well, every other kid would have done that and unzip their zipper and be a smartass.
Right.
She just would not believe me.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. I'm still not over it.
Clearly. We feel bad for you, Bill.
Anyway, listen to this. See? Look.
We are not looking. No. Stop looking, Mike.
Well, I have to know the truth.
Mrs. Johnson, this is for you.
Wait, what was her name?
Mrs. Johnson. No, what? Whoa, that's why she was mad.
Yeah, she probably was taking it personal.
Oh, my Lord. Wow.
But you saw full how circle. I did that. You saw the effectiveness of that sound, and I wasn't.
I've told lies and gotten so I stuck with them to the point where. And there were ridiculous lies too. That that when I wasn't being believed, I got mad that they didn't believe me. Like I think I was in like second grade, and you know how there's the levers on either side of a screen
from
the windows. If you push both of them in, you could take the screen out of the window. Wow. And if
this whole time I never knew.
That's the I was discovering it this particular day, and next thing you know, the screen fell out of the window.
Oh, no.
And you know, it was a second story bedroom.
Yeah.
And when it lands on the front bushes, your parents notice, and they're like, "What did you do?" I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." Like their screen is. Out of your window, and it's on the ground outside. I'm like, it must have been a robber. And
what?
Yep, and I stuck with it.
The second story robber.
So I stuck with it to the point where, I mean, I remember yelling at my mom, it was a robber. And I was so indignant that she would not believe me. But the whole time I knew I was lying, too, which was just, you know, bananas.
That's crazy. Mine is also second grade, surprisingly. My grandfather used to say this like to us all the time, like this stupid stuff that he would say. Like, I would ask him where my grandmother was if he would come by himself, and he would be like, oh, she went to Boston for the weekend. So I went into school one day, and the teacher asked where one of the girls was, so I said that she went to Boston for the weekend. But I didn't realize that that was like not something that you say to people. I thought that was like... Everybody knew the joke.
I don't know the joke.
What's the funny part of that joke?
I have no idea.
Is there like...
That was a common phrase he used. She went to Boston for the weekend?
Yeah, it was just like he was just being a jerk. He was just joking around. Like he would just give me it's a smart ass answer.
Okay.
So I used it at school. So my teacher took it literally and thought she went to Boston for the weekend. Then I get pulled in during lunchtime. And it's like her and three other teachers, and they're like, "No, Jordy, why did you say that she went to Boston for the weekend? Because we talked to her mom, and she's just homesick." It's like, shit.
Well, she didn't go see that specialist in Boston. Oh, it must just be a cold.
Yeah.
Did they have nothing else? The school administration have nothing else to do at that time other than, like, Jordy's saying people are going to Boston? And they're just, get that guy in here. We're grilling him. Call his parents. Where are they? He says they're in Boston. He's lying.
It was Catholic school, so.
It's not like you went, she went to Uranus.
But I believe, like, I thought that she knew it was a joke, so I didn't think that it was a problem. So it's not that I was, like, believing a lie or, but, yeah.
I learned so many important, because I went to all Catholic schools, too, but I'm telling you, kindergarten through fourth grade, I learned so many important things. Like, if you take a wad of toilet paper and you wet it, you throw it up in the ceiling, and it'll stick.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I practically made a topographical map of the Appalachian Mountains in the men's room of St. Vincent's.
It makes a great noise.
I'd sometimes do that if it was a nice day outside and they had the window open. I would unravel a long piece of toilet paper and then, you know, waft it out the window.
Waft.
And watch it land somewhere on the rectory, and I thought that was colorful, kind of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Those are like massive wet willies, or what do they call those? Not wet willies. What is it called when you have the spit balls?
Wet willy spit ball.
Were you not bullied, or were you just not good at bullying?
I was.
Because I know what both those things are, and they do not bring up happy memories for me.
I was bullied.
What is a wet willy? What is that?
A wet willy when you, like, lick your finger and stick it in somebody's ear.
Ugh, it's the worst.
It is the worst. We used to do this, no, I'm not going to go there.
You know when that backfires if you forget you did it and you lick your finger again?
Oh, God.
Just stick it in someone else's ear?
That's disgusting.
That's called the wet willies on you. Common parlance.
Oh, all right, so my turn for my topic. So kind of, we were talking about this before we started, and I've been thinking about this, so we're going to do this topic. What is a memory of yours, like your worst memory of your dad, or since you guys are both fathers, the worst thing you did to your children? Like funny, not horrible.
Oh, I have a good
one. Not like hurting them, but like, I shouldn't say it like that, like the most embarrassing moment for either your kids or that your father did to you.
I don't know, embarrassing.
Do you want me to start?
I have some cruel jokes I played on my son.
Yeah, no, that's good.
When, I'm trying to think how old he was. I'm going to say maybe around 6 or 7, but Beauty and the Beast had just come out, and he was obsessed with wolves because of the wolves outside of the castle, right? So we used to play wolves. Everything was about wolves. Kind of a half fascinated, half terrified of them.
Yeah.
So at Halloween time, I bought a cardboard cutout of the werewolf, like the classic Lon Chaney werewolf face, and I glued it to the underside of the toilet seat, toilet lid, and waited for him to go in the bathroom by himself. So I hear this. He walks toward the bathroom. The door closes. I hear the lid go up. And he screams for like 30 minutes. I laughed my ass off. And he was really angry. And then he asked me to do it again the next year. Which is hilarious. He's like, Dad, remember last year when you scared me with a werewolf? Do that again this year. He's like, it's not going to be scary if you know it's going to happen.
Right.
That was fun.
That's
and then,
awesome.
The other one we used to do, which I actually just made it up because it was fun. But when I used to take him to the park during the day, they had those swings that are like almost like the leather seats that you sit in. They're not hard seats.
Yeah.
But they still have metal chains on them and metal brackets on them. But there was a chain, a swing set at the park that had three of those in a row. So I would pull one of them all the way back and let it go. Then I would go to the second one and pull it back and let it go so that they were going crisscrossing each other, and then I would do the third one so it was going the same as the first one. And then I would tell him, so you stand by the bar on one end, and if you walk at exactly the right pace, but I would do it. I would actually do it for him. If you walked exactly the right pace, you could walk through it as each of those swings missed you, but you had to go just that way. And I would do it, and
but eventually
it would
work. You would work up to swinging blades.
No, no. And it would work, And then he would try to do it, and he would run because he would panic. So we would run. So he'd get by the first one, and he'd get nailed in the head by the second one. And he just kept trying to do it, and it was...
Did you ever videotape any of that?
I might have that on videotape.
Oh, my gosh.
But I didn't mean it to be mean. It was actually a fun thing.
Right.
But he would panic and run, and I just feel like the other parents must have been sitting around going, "What? What is he doing to that child?" Like, yeah, that was fun, but that was funny also.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mike?
I don't have anything that good. I mean,
it doesn't have to be.
It's not that.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, you go. Okay. You go.
So, anytime, so my dad is a teacher, and so in the summer times he would have off, so we would he would always take us around everywhere. We'd do stuff to go to the Discovery Center. He was kind of like the head babysitter for the most part, because he was one of the only parents that, you know, was available to watch the kids. So my buddies would come over, and me and my cousins and stuff, and my dad, when we were in the car with our friends, he would get driving on the highway. You knew something was coming because he would lock all the doors, roll the windows up, put the window lock on, and then he'd turn the heat on, and then he would rip ass for 15 minutes. It was horrible. And we were so stupid because the next time we got in the car, it's like we wanted it to happen. We're like, "Don't do it again, Dad."
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That was like with the werewolf thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That was really scary. Could you do that again this year?
My dad would just do subtle, weird, annoying things, but he would do them often. So they were so embarrassing. I know before we started recording, I was telling you guys, my dad would order things at restaurants. Yes. In weird accents. He would order peanut butter fudge ice cream at the mall when he was standing near us when we were teenagers. It was horrendous.
The worst.
I stole this and used it as a joke once, and it worked okay. But and he'll still do this with when he goes to a fast food place with my mom. If he gets a fish sandwich, he will order it, hold the tartar sauce, but he would like mayonnaise and relish on it. Does it all the time.
That's great.
We went to this colonial village in Geneseo. It was this historical, really? Family outing that's, you know how parents are like, you're going to learn something and you're going to hate it. And it's going to take all day. And there'll be long drives in the car.
Yeah.
So the whole premise of this place is they took houses from all over New York State and they moved them here and created a village.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Whoa. All
right. So everyone caught that, those details? They moved.
Gotcha.
None of the houses were there originally. They were all moved there.
That's crazy.
They have a tour guide at each one of the houses. At every single house, my dad asked, "Was this house originally here?" He literally asked it between 6 and 8 times to 8 different tour guides that day.
That's awesome.
Sometimes we would wait till and that's pretty much the end of the tour unless there's any questions. We're like, "No questions, let's just go." I have one. Was this house originally here?
Nice.
That was pretty good.
I like that.
Those are good run. Those are good memories. So yeah. Lots of fun stuff.
Let's plug shows. We got shows coming.
We do have some shows coming. What's the first show, Mike?
May 13th. That's a Saturday. That's going to be at Binghamton Brewing Company. It's going to be myself, Bill Lake, and RJ McCarthy from Syracuse. Jordy's hosting.
Bill Lake is going to be on that show?
Bill Lake is going to be on that show.
He's my favorite.
Wow. He's all right.
He's very handsome.
He has better credits than me, but everyone has better credits than me.
I don't.
Yeah, if we wrote them out, you probably do.
Nope.
But how's your credit score?
Excellent. Well, excellent.
Then you really have that.
Yeah. I got 0% financing through a car company once.
Nice.
Yeah. if there's any ladies out there listening.
My credits suck, actually. The only really good credit I have is I used to do commercials for the Oakdale Mall. That's like a legit credit I have.
Like on camera?
No, yeah. Like we did the commercials. Like we were on TV.
Like they're like, we want you to be the face of the Oakdale Mall.
It was me and my siblings, and my mother would make us wear these matching horrid outfits. And we'd all have to, we looked the same. And we had the same mushroom cut, a bowl haircut. Oh my God. It's horrible.
The one time, I'm originally from Buffalo.
I
mean,
I
love
doing the commercials, but I hated.
I'm originally from Buffalo, and we like wings there and all that good stuff.
Wow. I've only went wings in Buffalo.
They're pretty good.
Sorry.
Only once in my lifetime I've ever been to the Anchor Bar, and we happened to be downtown, and my dad's like, let's go to the Anchor Bar, you know, because they have good wings.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay. And we did, and it was a Saturday, and it was in the fall. And a film crew showed up, and they were apparently from the NFL, whoever was covering the Bills game the next day, and they wanted footage of somebody eating chicken wings. So they picked me, which now I never saw the footage on TV. It could be for a couple reasons. One reason, at the time, I hated football. And I didn't watch it, so that was one reason.
Did you say you were from Buffalo or Russia?
The second reason is I think I was 15 at the time, and I had, you know, I had a good amount of acne. I had...
What is a good amount of acne?
Well, like...
you mean a generous amount of acne?
Generous,
or
yeah.
Quality
plenty.
Acne?
Like, there was... Every morning, there was something new to pop.
Oh, gross.
I had, you know, like a skater cut, so I had long, greasy, unkempt bangs.
I need these photos.
My teeth were a mess, and I had braces, so there's no doubt there were chunks of chicken all hanging out in my braces. And he's like, could you dip it in the blue cheese? I don't like blue cheese.
Wait, they made you dip it? They wanted that specifically?
Specifically that, and I don't like
blue
cheese.
What a weird request.
But, like, you know, the sacrifices I make for show business are immense, so I did. And it's the only time I've ever eaten a wing dipped in blue cheese.
Wow.
And, so that's probably my biggest credit.
See, so you have a credit, though.
Right.
So
I may have been on national
And you were
television.
Older than I was, and it was national. Mine was local, so.
But I don't even know if mine ever aired.
Mine definitely aired, unfortunately.
There was probably someone pretty there at the bar soon after I was there, and they went with her or him.
I think you're beautiful, Mike. I don't care what they say about her.
Did not have a good amount of acne. An acceptable amount of acne. Well, I did a thing one time, and just...
Oh, we know. You were David Letterman, SNL. I'm just busting.
This actually ended up being kind of mean, but I didn't... So at one point, I was doing, like, fake phone call-ins for radio stations.
Oh, nice.
And my son was little. It was kind of funny because I was a stay-at-home dad at the time. So I would get this call at like 8 o'clock in the morning from a company that set it up in New York City. And they'd say, okay, you're going to be on the air in 20 minutes with a station in San Francisco. And here's what you're going to do. So it would be a faked phone-in, but the listening audience out there didn't know it.
Right.
So the one we did one day was...
Wait, this is almost like reality television, but it's not real.
Exactly. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble here. So Brokeback Mountain had just come out. So this was like one of those morning zoo radio shows, mm-hmm. you know, trying to be outrageous all the time. So they decided they would fake a call-in where guys were calling in saying they had a Brokeback Mountain experience.
Oh.
And they were calling in to talk about it.
Wow.
So that was my job, to pretend to be Joe Schmo up till that point, a heterosexual man, who was going to tell the story that my buddy and I went camping and a few beers and one thing led to another.
Did you write out?
Part of the setup, no, it was all improvised. Part of the setup was I was not supposed to know my wife, in quotes, was listening into the phone call. Now, she was also an actor paid to play my wife. I don't even know where she was, somewhere else in the country. So
are you still together with her?
We did not stay together after this, not even fictionally. So we went through
probably
this whole thing.
Probably because she found out you're gay.
Yeah. I went through this whole thing and I told the story. I'm like, yeah, you know, it happened to me. My buddy and I, we went fishing in the mountains, and you know, whatever, it was cold night. And she cuts in at a certain point, and I don't remember what my name was. Brian, how could you do this to me? I'm like, and then I was pretending to be stunned. Honey, oh my God, I'm sorry. You know, it just happened. We didn't plan it. She's like, oh my God. And she got all emotional, and she hung up, and I was supposed to be stunned. And the morning show host guys were like, well, Brian, wow, sorry about that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, I got to go. I got a lot of explaining to do. And we hung
got
up.
Some
so that was the end of the thing. I hang up my phone here in Binghamton, New York. I go about my day. I get a call again 20 minutes later from this company in New York City that set up a phone call. They go, I don't know what you guys did on this phone call, but their phone lines are lighting up at this radio station in San Francisco.
Oh, what?
They want you to come back on. And I don't know what they're going to talk about, but go back on as Brian again. So I call back in, and they patch me back in, and they go, okay, yeah, just listen, just respond. Okay, so what had happened was real women listeners bought this entire story.
Wow.
And were calling in emotional, weeping, saying how much help it was to hear that this happened to someone else. Because it had happened to them. And they were just, it just did
this
so much.
This is San Francisco, did you say?
Look at all the joy you brought to people's lives.
I probably patched up a few marriages, you know.
Holy
smokes.
Wait, when you were doing that, so did she come back on? Like, did you guys have another conversation?
I don't remember that part, but I just remember feeling really bad that, I guess we faked it really well, but that there were people listening who, you know, on the other hand, you listen to a morning zoo radio show. You got to kind of figure a lot of it's made up, but...
Well, yeah, but then you have things that sell, like these friggin' housewife TV shows.
And
so, like, people buy that.
Right, and it was, you know, it was, I guess, the radio equivalent of reality shows.
I have a similar story that does not involve the actual media. So I was in my early 20s.
This is a real story.
This is a real story.
Oh, boy.
We were...
That was a real story? It's a real story about a made-up thing.
No. Right. I know what you mean, but... I don't mean to confuse everyone.
Sure, Bill. but I have a real story. This is my early 20s. We were up late making bad decisions. There was an entertainment newspaper that we had around. And it's important to understand this was in Buffalo. And at the time, Buffalo and Miami were global hubs for death metal. A lot of important death metal bands came out of Buffalo, as I'm sure you're aware. You know, your Cannibal Corpse, the singer from Deicide is of course from.
I thought he was from Miami.
No, he moved to Miami.
Gotcha.
But you know, they've come visit. So death metal was a big thing in Buffalo, and it wasn't me. I wish I could take credit for it, but this guy we were hanging out with. It was like some ungodly hour, like 2 o'clock in the morning. We started flipping through the classifieds for musicians, and he found someone that was looking for a death metal singer, and so we called him up, and he pretty much forced the guy to listen to an audition over the phone, which was mostly just him going, into the phone for long enough that we wanted to make sure it was more than the guy wanted to hear, even if he was a fan.
Yes.
There was not a follow-up phone call, so apparently they found someone else.
When you were done, was he still on? Like when they were done singing, was he still on the phone?
Yeah, surprisingly. Wow. And there was a, well, I don't know, I mean, I'm not really, you know, well, if we have your number, maybe we'll give you a call.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He totally bought it.
Well, I feel like I need to tell you my like radio call-in story.
Is your story real?
Yes, it is. Not real like your guys' story.
Bill's gonna have the best story again.
It's really short. Basically, we were prank calling the radio station. And coming up with, like, the worst request names ever. Like, play Madonna, she likes her butt, or like, like totally, like the stupidest stuff. Like we were like 10 years old.
Damn, that's edgy.
We were like 10.
She likes her butt. I said butt.
On the radio.
Jordy said butt.
I'm not gonna be able to finish the story.
We should probably go hide in the utility room where Jordy cried that one time before he ditched us and didn't go to Jersey.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, stupid request. And then the radio guy started to figure it out, and then he started getting mad, and he threatened to call the cops on us. So that's my story.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, we have shows, which is what the if you remember, if you're still here, we are going to talk about shows.
Let's recap
now.
Those shows. Saturday, May 13th, Binghamton Brewing Company.
Yes.
Mike Straczynski, Bill Lake, RJ McCarthy, Jordy hosting.
Sound like you're like calling a baseball game. John's running first, and third we have run.
In 1937.
That's what it sounded like, though.
Don't take any wooden nickels. And remember, beer is outlawed. Wow, dude, look at the legs on that flapper.
I think you mean ankles.
Ankles. The ankles on that flapper. I can't see anything else.
So Binghamton Brew Co., this is our first show with them, which we were pretty stoked about. Yes?
They have good beer.
They have delicious beer. I don't even drink beer, but I would drink their beer. So, yes. We're stoked about that. May 13th. What are the ticket prices?
$10.
And you get them where?
You can get them at Binghamton Brewing Company itself, or you can go online and use their website. If you go to their under their gear, or if you go to the Binghamton Comedy Binge Facebook page, there's an event we created for it, and there's a link right on that event page. Take it right there.
That's true.
Part with your money.
Absolutely.
Give it to us.
So stoked about that. We just found out recently.
It's going to be happening.
Hops. I got it. Oh,
because of the beer.
I'm leaving now. I'm done. That's it. I'm done.
Mic drop. We're pretty. So that's awesome.
We're pretty. We are pretty. we are pretty. Really pretty.
I can't talk. We are excited about that. We have a great a couple of shows coming up now with Tauga Downs.
Tauga Downs. Tauga Downs.
I quit.
Toga Downs. Everyone, bring your toga. Get in free with a toga. Toga Downs.
That'll be, the first show is
May 26th. So,
which is May 26th. Mark your calendars.
It's a Friday.
That's VI / XX VI.
Is that correct?
No women allowed.
So
admission is a goat. Tioga Downs.
Oh man.
Tioga Downs. Tioga Downs.
I'm just getting it now.
Is the actual best. Yes. Ah! Oh my god. Jordy, you should eat something else. I think you're Bully Mike. But seriously, Tioga Downs.
People are going to hate how much I laugh on this.
Tioga Downs, May
26th. It's actually, so it's Tioga Downs in Virgil. So they have the Virgil's Barbecue restaurant there now. If you haven't been there, it's a neat place. It's a pretty nicely set up, too, for comedy. So it's going to be a great show. I think we're doing either four or five shows in total this summer. But first one's May 26th. Actually, it's four.
It's a barbecue joint.
It is a barbecue
joint. Order the ribs and we'll tickle them.
Oh, I'm going to send that to them. It's a free show. It's a free show. Excellent comedians. So May 26th, June 2nd, June 9th.
Who's on that
June
first
23rd.
Show,
Jordy? So on the first show, we have, oh my God, is it Bill Lake again?
I think so.
He is our favorite. Sorry, Mike.
It's fine.
And whatever. then Justin Jackson and Stephen Rogers are going to be on the show as well, both from Syracuse. Great guys doing cool stuff up there.
They actually have credits. Steve has opened for Brian Regan.
Yes, he has.
And Justin has performed at, he'll be performing this summer at the Cape Fear Comedy Festival.
Yeah, he's been doing a couple of those, a couple of festivals.
It's
going to
be a good show.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, and then the June 2nd show, we have Tony Liberati. If you were at Comedy Crawl, which we had a blast at, by the way.
Oh, he killed it. He crushed it.
Yes. He did a great job. So he's going to be headlining that one on the 9th. Mike Sierzynski, our second favorite comedian.
You're just saying that now.
You're just saying that because there's only three people in the room.
He's going to be headlining that one.
I'm headlining? Why am I? No.
Nope, sorry. That's not right. That's correct.
That's not right. R.J. McCarthy will also be there with me, and Paul Kozlowski, who has, like, super legit credits.
Yes, he has pretty legit credits. So he wrote for Ellen DeGeneres.
And he was in the movie Punchline.
Yes, he was.
No shit?
Yes.
I didn't know that fact about
him.
We
can swear.
Mm-hmm. Whoops. I'm going to bleep that one out. Not.
Paul has a great joke about Joan of Arc. So, one of my favorite joke every time.
Tell us your midget joke.
No, I'm not gonna. Yeah. Yeah, let's recall that. We were doing an interview for Comedy Crawl, and the person wanted to end the interview by saying, Bill, why don't you do your midget joke, which basically gives away the punchline. But, you know, we soldiered on.
We did.
As we like to say here.
Soldier on.
Soldier on.
Yeah.
All right, so we got lots of cool stuff coming up this summer. Backyard Comedy is going to be coming back. It's going to be making an appearance starting in July because end of May, here starting on the 13th, as we said, is going to be pretty booked up, and then June's going to be pretty much all at Tioga Downs. Those are all Friday dates, by the way. And then
at Tioga Downs.
At Tioga Downs, yes.
Boy, that's a lot of quality comedy events coming to the area.
It's a ton. Plus Backyard Comedy. We've got some other cool stuff that's coming up. Obviously, we're going to keep going with the podcast. We're going to make a parody video about Bill Lake, maybe.
If I had a stick and shook it, what are the chances I'd be shaking it at a quality comedy event somewhere in the greater Binghamton / Tioga,
you know what the Tioga chances area? Are, the chances are the same as if I had a cat and I grabbed it by a tail and I swung that cat. What are the odds I would hit a comedy event? Oh, wait, that's not that analogy, is it?
No, that's horrible. Save that for when we do that fundraiser for Every Dog's Dream. We'll love that.
What is that? What is that for? How small a room is? Not a very big room. You couldn't swing a cat. What is that? Where am I getting that from?
I think you're making it up.
I think I'm becoming a serial killer. That's the first step.
The cat killer for sure.
I think that room has to be full of rocking chairs. And you have to be a claustrophobic. Like, I'm so scared in here because there's rocking chairs and a cat.
What?
I think I nailed that. I think I nailed it.
Speaking of inappropriate animal jokes, what if we were going to put on a comedy show at, let's say, Animal Adventure Park?
Yeah, let's ruin our opportunities.
Where that giraffe was born recently. What would you call that show, Mike?
Oh, I would like the idea of set up some punch lions. No lions were hurt in the production of that joke.
That joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're descending into puns.
What about Giraffe Out Loud? That's actually a good one.
That's a pretty good
one. Or Jokes in the Jungle?
That's not a good one.
You don't like that one?
No.
What about Jungle Jokes?
No.
Like the Jungle Book, but Jungle Jokes?
No.
What about Jingle Jungle Jokes?
John Jacob Jungle Joke Schmidt.
All right.
His puns were my puns.
On that note, we're going to close this out. Thank you guys for listening to the first episode now, really, of...
I think it's adorable we're using plural in terms of listeners.
Yeah, right. So,
thanks for listening, Jordy's wife.